The Senate will please come to order, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, George, Gerard, Gerard, Hass, Hass, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we'll post the colors, and Senator Verger will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Today's invocation is by Pastor David King from the First United Methodist Church in Coos Bay.
Let us pray. Holy One, Creator of all that is, seen and unseen, we ask your blessing upon the work of this chamber. Grant your wisdom to these senators. Allow them to discern the just course. Make their eyes and ears alert to the needs of those whom they are sent to serve, not only the powerful ones with loud voices, but most especially the powerless, the marginalized, and the voiceless. We ask this in all humility, as sisters and brothers, with you as our parent. Amen.
I'd like to thank the Pastor David King. Extend the official courtesies of the Senate to Pastor David King, who came to us today all the way from Coos Bay. Thanks, Senator Verger, for leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance of the flag. Honorary pages, Justin Winch, Michael Walker, Emily Mumford, Bethany Sue Hightower, Alex Eddy. They are all the honorary pages and guests of Senator Vicki Walker. Before we go, let me think. Is he here? He's not here. We have a birthday, but he's not on the floor. Where is he? Where is he? I don't see Bates. Senator Bates. Senator Bates, come forward. Senator Bates, this is his birthday. I think yesterday was his birthday. All right. We all sing now. You got Senator. We got. You got Senator Burdick, Senator Ferrioli, and Senator Carter. They're going to lead us in singing a happy birthday to Senator Alan Bates. So anytime you want to start, you can start singing.
Colleagues, please join us.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Senator. Happy birthday to you.
those watching, that was Happy Birthday, sung by the state senate to Senator Alan Bates, a doctor from Ashland, Medford. He's older today. We need to practice the Happy Birthday song. Okay. Courtesy of the Senate, recognize Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Working, many of you might not know, but my staff, Kayla, grandmother, is very ill and is dying in Texas, and so she's there. And her place is one of my constituents who was laid off from her company, General Electric, and she's filling in for me this week, and her name is Charlene Richard. And so I want all of you guys who help other legislators, staff, to come by and meet her and to help her adjust to working in this body that moves faster than lightning itself. So welcome, Charlene, Mr. President.
Charlotte, welcome to the Oregon State Senate, and you need to come see me and tell you how to adjust to Senator Margaret Carter in her office. That's the more difficult assignment, Charlotte, but we're very pleased you're stepping in to help her. So, Charlotte, thank you very much. I'd like to extend a courtesy to the Senate to you. Recognize Senator Joanne Verger, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is always my pleasure to have David King from the United Methodist Church in Coos Bay here. I want you to know that this morning, the young man giving the prayer is an accomplished musician. He thought he was going to spend the rest of his life in the profession of music. And he decided to go to the seminary, and the United Methodist Church in Coos Bay is his first church. He came to that church with a lack of the church population there, congregation, had a very lack of energy and enthusiasm. We're just kind of doing the same things over and over. And he has brought new life to that Methodist congregation, and we are so appreciative. Every Sunday that I'm back in my district and can go to church, I just sit there thanking the good Lord one more time that we have David King. So thank you, David, very, very much, and so happy to have your father here today.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Doug Whitsitt, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I am greatly honored today to have at my desk Brigadier General Charles C. Austin, Jr. General Austin is a native Oregonian. He attended school in Bend and Albany and graduated from Salem High School in 1938. He enlisted in the Army Air Corps in 1942. He flew 58 combat missions in the P-47 Thunderbolt throughout the European theater. His primary mission was air-to-ground support, destroying key enemy targets across France, Belgium, and Germany. He joined the Air National Guard in 1953 and subsequently was promoted to Brigadier General. He once served in the same capacity as Brigadier General Mike Caldwell now serves. Among his military awards are the Air Force Distinguished Service Medal, the Legion of Merit, the Air Medal with 7 Oak Leaf clusters, and the European African Middle East Campaign Medal with 4 battle stars. He currently is serving in his second 4-year term, serving the Governor's Veteran Advisory Committee. Mr. President, please extend warm welcomes to the Senate, to Senator Austin, to General Austin. He should be a senator.
Thank you, Senator. But yes, General Austin, it's a high privilege and honor to have you on the Senate floor today. Thank you for all you've done for the country as well as all you've done for the state of Oregon over the many, many years. It's a real privilege to have you here, and we'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Senate to you. Please come back and see us again. Thank you. You honor us. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask that the Senate extend courtesies to the members of the American Legion who are up in the South balcony right now. Later today, we're going to hear House Joint Resolution number 10, honoring the members of the American Legion who have served and honoring the American Legion here in Oregon on its 90th birthday. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Yes, they are the South gallery, and I do appreciate your bringing that to our attention, Senator Boquist. To all the members of the American Legion are here. Welcome to your Oregon State Senate. It's a privilege to have you here. I hope you will stay as we take up that House resolution and make it a special order of business. So thank you very much for coming here today. Thank you. The remonstrances, Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was reading the New York Times this Sunday, and I saw this quote and could not resist from sharing it with my colleagues. It was by an article by Vikas Bija, and he quoted the economist John Kenneth Galbraith, who once said, "The only function of economic forecasting is to make astrology look respectable." So I thought, given the circumstances we're in, I felt that it was appropriate to share that with my colleagues, a sad but true statement. So that's what I wanted to share, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Dingfelder. Recognize Senator Jackie Winters, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I just wanted to give colleagues an update. Senator Hannon is doing better. I had a conversation with Dixie, so thank you for all of your thoughts and prayers, and thank you for your thoughts and prayers for me for the loss of my sister-in-law.
Thank you, Senator Winters. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, if you've seen the news this morning or looked at the Capitol clips or noticed the newspaper upstairs in the lounge, yesterday, 140 employees at the Weyerhaeuser Mill in Dallas, which is pretty much my leading city in my district, were laid off permanently, and the mill was shuttered and closed, most likely not to open. I would like to bring to your attention that despite in this economic downturn, depression, recession, whatever we would like to address it as, we're always saying that there are tough times out there, and of course the forestry sector is almost the largest sector of my district, and it's hard hit. That is true, but unfortunately, due to world politics, border issues, so on and so forth, I would point out to you that in the past year, 1.7 billion board foot, let me say that again, 1.7 billion board foot of timber, lumber for construction has been imported into the state of Oregon and into the state of Washington, mostly from Canada and other locations that operate less expensive because of access to cheap government timber, mostly in Canada. So many of the jobs that we're losing in the timber sector today, like the 140 jobs that I lost yesterday, are not just about economic downturn, they're about access to timber, because people are still buying lumber today, and they're buying lumber from outside of the state. I would urge this body to move forward on some of the federal reconnects that we disconnected with, specifically at the request of those 140 members, the unemployment issue and the COBRA issue, as they are struggling to try and find means to pay for their insurance in the future. I would comment that Weyerhaeuser has been working diligently to assist those members, and we appreciate that. We just wish we had the timber to keep those jobs instead of importing timber and lumber into this state at this time.
Thank you, Senator Boquist.
Mr. President, I'm sure the governor informed you the House has approved and signed the following bills.
Mr. President, I have the sesquicentennial minute. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, in honor of Women's History Month, we focus on women shipyard workers. The United States' entry into World War II drained much of the available male labor supply for the nation's wartime industries. As a result, women were actively recruited into the workforce as temporary replacements. The War Department believed that housewives were ideal for wartime needs, expecting them to voluntarily forfeit their jobs to returning servicemen at the war's end. Figures for Portland's Big Kaiser shipyards in 1944 indicated that 28,000 women laborers comprised 30% of the workforce, with countless others working in smaller yards along the Columbia and Willamette Rivers. To accommodate families with children, daycare centers became an important feature of urban life for the very first time. The Kaiser shipyards made an early commitment to hire women to fill construction positions at its Portland and Vancouver facilities. When the Oregon Shipbuilding Company hired two women welders in April 1942, it was the first time in U.S. Maritime Commission Yard employed female workers to carry out production facility or production work. As news circulated about the shipyard's willingness to hire women, welding schools took on the task of training more women for shipyard work. At their peak, the two Portland shipyards, Oregon Shipbuilding and Swan Island, employed 16,000 women laborers. And the two child care centers cared for approximately 700 children. Female employees were the first to be handed quit slips when the war began to wind down and shipyard construction began to collapse. Although a few unskilled women workers held on to their jobs after the war, the Oregon Shipyard Corporation laid off its last three women welders in October 1945. Real gains in full equality between men and women in the workplace lay sometime in the future. Mr. President, this sesquicentennial history minute is brought to you by the Oregon Historical Society's online educational resources and the Oregon History Project and the Oregon Time Web. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. We'll now return to the regular order of business, which is under messages from the governor.
Mr. President, regular governor informed the House has approved, and the governor has approved and signed the following bills. Senate Bills 14, Senate Bills 581, 5552.
Message from the House.
Mr. President, regular speaker informed the House has passed House Bill 2080, Senate Bill 160, House Bill 2269, Senate Bill 86, 130, 131, 139, 237, 268, 21, House Bills 2173, 2449, 2570, 2686, Senate Bills 162, 165, 288, 403, passed the following Senate Bills as amended by the House, Senate Bill 96, and adopted HJM 10 and HJR 19.
Reports from conference committees, reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 39 was distributed to members March 17th, and number 40 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the Journal of State's report, and it is so ordered. Reports from the special committees. Propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Richard Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I move the consideration of H.J.R. 10 be made a special order of business at the head of today's third reading calendar.
Senator Richard Devlin has moved that the consideration of H.J.R. 10 be made a special order of business at the head of today's third reading calendar. Your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, we have a number of distinguished members from the American Legion here today. We would like to move this to the head of the calendar. They've come here to their capital to see this body work, and we want to get to work as soon as possible.
Discussion? Senator Winters, you're not up for discussion. Oh, thank you. You want to move? All right. If there's no further discussion, the question is on making H.J.R. 10 a special order of business at the head of today's third reading calendar. All those in favor will please say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. This motion has carried. Action executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Senator Winters, for what purpose do you rise?
Return to courtesies, please, Mr. President.
Without objection, we will return to the order of courtesies.
Mr. President, would you please extend courtesies to the chamber, leadership, youth, who are right in front of us in the galley, and they are led by their group leader, Gladys Blum, who is an active member in our community here in Salem. So would you extend courtesies and welcome to the Chamber Leadership Youth.
To the Chamber Leadership Youth, we're very pleased you could join us in the back gallery. And Gladys, there you are up there. Thank you for coming. This is your state capital. It's always an honor and a privilege to have the young people, tomorrow's leaders, come to visit us. We hope you have a great day in your state capital and that you will come back to see us again. Thank you, Senator Winters, for bringing the young people's attention, their attention to our Senate floor today. Without objection, we'll now return to the regular order of business, and we're under introduction to first reading of the Senate measures.
Senate Bill 966, relating family benefits insurance, property money, and court emergency. Senate Bill 967, relating application of prevailing wages to projects funded by school districts and court emergency.
These are transmitted to the President for referral. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 61, relating to exemption from lobbyist regulations. Senate Bill 89, relating to explosives. Senate Bill 127, relating to financial responsibility requirements for motor vehicles. Senate Bill 313, relating to evidence. Senate Bill 314, relating to accident reports. Senate Bill 371, relating to trust. Senate Bill 373, relating to orders to withhold. Senate Bill 380, relating to testimony and criminal proceedings. Senate Bill 404, relating to attorneys and court emergency.
These are past the calendar. Senator Girard, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I'd like to return to courtesies.
Without objection, we return to the order of courtesies.
Mr. President and colleagues, I'd like to announce that we have 60 students from Pioneer Middle School from Lebanon. They're led by Ryan Pierce. And I'd like you to bid them welcome, please.
The 60 students from the Pioneer Middle School in Lebanon, I believe they're in the back of the chamber, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. Up in the gallery.
And Ryan is their leader. I appreciate very much. Yes. It's an honor and privilege to have you join us all the way from Lebanon. This is your capital, as I've said. And we hope you have a good day here, and come back and see us again. Thank you, Senator Gerard, for bringing that to attention. We will now turn to the recognized Senator Rob Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Under courtesies, we have just been joined by a group from Portland Adventist Academy in my district. Their leader is Maria Bibb, and they are high school students in the gallery.
Okay. The Portland Adventist students are in the gallery, too. Is it Gladys? Is that who?
Maria.
Maria. I get it. Gladys was the Lebanon pioneer. It's getting to be something here. All right. Maria, Portland Adventist, where are they? Are they up there? Oh, they're in the middle. All right. They're in the middle. So we got three groups of students in the back. And so Portland Adventist students, thank you very much for coming here. And Maria, thank you for bringing them here. Hope you have a good day. There's going to be a lot of students in our capital today from a lot of different schools. We'll now return to the regular order of business, and it's my understanding, Senator Devlin and Senator Farioli, we are going to go right to the special order of business. Is that correct? That is the signal they have given me. We will now proceed to special order of business. The clerk will read the resolution.
House Joint Resolution 10, declaring March 2009, American Legion Month.
Senator Brian Boquist will carry.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Joint Resolution number 10 comes from your Committee on Health Care and Veterans Affairs, and I would comment, though I'm not on that committee is doing yeoman's work this session again on behalf of veterans, something that's dear to all of our hearts and has been dear to this nation since the beginning days, long before us, long before statehood, back in the days of the American Revolution and we first came here. This House Joint Resolution declares March 2009 as American Legion Month. In this month, it is their 90th birthday in this nation. The American Legion was founded in 1919 at the end of World War I. It was chartered by Congress in September of that year as a patriotic wartime organization. It currently has 3 million members. The American Legion was responsible for securing the passage of the Servicemen's Readjustment Act in 1944. For those of us old enough to identify that, that's the original GI Bill. It is that GI Bill that enabled millions of veterans to obtain educational benefits, to go to college, to help in the reconstruction of this nation after World War II, and get home loans through the Veterans Administration, which allowed them in many cases to settle here in Oregon. The Legion in Oregon presently has about 25,000 members in 120 Legion posts across the state. I know that every one of us, every 4 years at a minimum, most of us every year, go to the 4th of July parade, go to the Summerfest parade, and in every single one of those parades we go to, you see members of the American Legion helping with that parade, helping in their communities. The American Legion serves youth programs throughout the state of Oregon, like the American Legion Baseball, Junior Shooting Sports, Boys and Girls in State, the Boys Nation, and the Boy Scouts. They've been sponsoring Boy Scout troops in this nation since 1919. And today it charters about 2,800 Boy Scout troops with 7,400 young men and women. And I will remind you that the Boy Scouts is not just the boys. The ladies are in the Boy Scouts, too, at this time. You're welcome. This resolution, again, honors and recognizes those members of the American Legion serving across the nation, and especially those serving in our state here today in this American Legion month on their 90th birthday. Mr. President, I would declare a conflict of interest because I am a member of the American Legion, and I would urge all members to vote yes on this House joint resolution. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Boquist. Further discussion on the resolution. Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Following the lead of Senator Boquist, I too will declare a conflict of interest. I'm a member of the Auxiliary American Legion Post 12 Astoria.
Okay. Further discussion? Senator Boquist, do you wish to close? The question now rises upon the third reading of the final passage of H.J.R. 10. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will answer aye. As names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Pass. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Nelson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
H.J.R. 10, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. All right. Recognize Senator Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the Republicans will caucus for 5 minutes by the water cooler, but we hope that our veterans here who are here to observe the session will remain so that they can be witness to the next piece of legislation following 64, which refers to the designation of Highway 97 as a memorial highway. But Republicans will caucus for 5 minutes by the water cooler.
Thank you, Senator Ferrioli. I recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Democrats will caucus by the piano for no more than 5 minutes.
So the Senate Republicans will go to the water cooler, and the Senate Democrats will go to the piano. The Senate will stand at ease. The third reading of the Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 64, relating to school finance and current emergency.
Senator Frank Morris will carry Senate Bill 64, which has just been read by the clerk.
Thank you, Mr. President.
We got to get members. We're back now from the respective caucuses. Members. All right, Senator Morris, proceed, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 64 is a statutory conflict resolution bill. It provides a resolution for conflicting statutes regarding ESD revenue. The bill holds ESDs and school districts harmless for any local revenue distributions made or not made for prior school years. The bill only affects ESDs and their component school districts that have local revenue in excess of their general purpose grant. Currently, there are three ESDs that are affected. They are Region 18 ESD, Grant ESD, and North Central ESD. Because of the conflict between these statutes, ODE has counted this distribution to the school districts as part of their local revenue. If we were to do this, the component school districts would have to repay the funds to the state school fund. The bill makes retroactive the decisions these ESDs have made beginning in the 04-05 school year and continuing through this school year, and according to the information we were provided, will in fact prevent school districts from having to pay back any money. Mr. President, colleagues, the school distribution formula is very complex. This is a resolution of conflicts within existing statute, something that we need to repair. Urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Is there discussion on the measure? Question now arises upon the third reading of the final passage of Senate Bill 64. Those in opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonas Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morris. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin.
Senator
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, Nelson, Whitsett. 25 ayes.
The Senate Bill 64, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 449, relating to historic highways.
Recognize Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, it's a singular honor today to be here considering Senate Bill 449, particularly with General Darrell Austin on the floor. He is one of my heroes and my ideal of what a citizen soldier should be. Mr. President, Senate Bill 449 designates U.S. Highway 97 as World War II Veterans Historic Highway. Highway 97 served eight critical World War II military training sites along its entire length from Biggs Junction to Klamath Falls. Today, these sites are along US 97. They are not marked to inform population and the traveling public of their existence and the vital role US 97 played in World War II. This legislation will help teach the traveling public about the historic role in World War II that sites along US 97 played. In 1943, the Oregon Maneuver occurred. This was the largest military training exercise in the Pacific Northwest and occurred in the counties served by U.S. Highway 97 and involved more than 100,000 soldiers from three U.S. Army infantry divisions and their associated support units. In 1944, the small town of Rufus, with a population of 90, swelled to more than 1,000 with the arrival of U.S. Army soldiers. Known as Camp Rufus, it would grow to an estimated 2,500 soldiers. the men of the 1687th Combat Engineers Battalion of the 558th Heavy Pontoon Engineers and the 149th Engineer Maintenance Company would use the nearby Columbia River to train and perfect the techniques that they used for crossing the Rhine River into Germany. In Madras, near junction of Highway 26 and 97, they trained in Lockheed P-38 Lightning Fighters and Boeing B-17 Flying Fortresses. Two large hangars were built to house maintenance equipment and personnel. Today, these hangars are still in use at the main runway for general aviation aircraft. Highway 97 has a strong connection to other regional memorials honoring Oregon World War II veterans. In 2003, the Oregon legislature passed SJR 38, naming the new U.S. Highway 97 bridge over the Crooked River the Rex T. Barber Veterans Memorial Bridge. And we were just discussing the fact that Rex Barber flew with General Claire Chennault in pre-World War II China. And, of course, that was a fabulous exploit. But we named it for the Rex Barber exploits. He is a native of Culver, Oregon. He, in 1944, shot down the airplane carrying Japanese Admiral Yamamoto, the architect of the infamous attack on Pearl Harbor. And, Mr. President, among the facilities that are located along Highway 97 are the U.S. Army Field in Madras, where the P-38 Lightning Fighters trained and the Boeing B-17 Flying Fortress Bombers trained. The civilian pilot training field in Prineville was located there. And portions of the World War II runway and facilities are still in use. The U.S. Army Airfield at Redmond was located along Highway 97, again where B-17 Flying Fortress Bombers and P-38 Lockheed Lightning Fighters were based. That today is known as Roberts Field and is the Redmond Municipal Airport. And the USDA Forest Service Redmond Air Center is located there also, and that's the hub for our interagency wildland fire suppression fire management teams. There was 1942 in Bend, a group of civilian pilots were trained and actually deeded a piece of ground to the city of Bend for a municipal airport. From 1942 through 45, that was used as a civilian pilot training airbase. U.S. Army Camp Abbott was located about 50 miles south of Bend, and that was the training site for the combat engineers who trained 90,000 troops. The camp was commanded by Colonel Frank Beeson. It also was the headquarters for the three-month-long Oregon maneuver. Also in 1942, the Klamath Falls U.S. Naval Air Station became very active in training fleet squadrons for the Pacific Theater of Operations. Pilots trained primarily in Grumman F-4Fs, in Wildcats, the F-6F Hellcats, and the TBF-TBM Avengers. Pilots used nearby Clear Lake just over the California border for practicing torpedo and bombing runs. Then there was also the U.S. Marine Corps Barracks and Hospital at Klamath Falls. Mr. President, Highway 97 has strong ties to military service, and it's totally appropriate that we name U.S. Highway 97 the World War II Veterans Historic Highway. Mr. President, this bill will be co-carried, so I'll yield the rest of my time to my co-carrier.
So, Senator Whitson, you wish to speak now as opposed to closing? Is that right?
You. Yes, I do, please.
Excuse me?
Yes, I do, please.
Okay. Recognize Senator Whitson, please.
Thank you. Mr. President, three sites along Highway 97 commemorate those who earned the Congressional Medal of Honor. As Senator Ferrioli mentioned, the Highway 97 bridge high over the Crooked River near Terrebonne is named in memory of Rex T. Barber, Sr. Lieutenant Barber shot down the bomber carrying Admiral Yamamoto, who, as you know, was the architect of the Pearl Harbor fiasco. Barber was one of 16 P-38 pilots on the mission to intercept and destroy those Japanese aircraft. Of the 16, Barber was the only pilot able to engage the enemy aircrafts. In the face of overwhelming enemy aircraft and fighter cover, Lieutenant Barber sequentially parked his P-38 behind each of the bombers and methodically destroyed them at point-blank range. He then flew his aircraft back to the base with holes in it you could throw a volleyball through. Lieutenant Barber survived the war as an Army Air Corps ace. A highway bridge near Bend commemorates Army Tech 5 Robert Maxmill for his heroic actions on a battlefield in France. Maxwell was helping defend a critical communication outpost during a forced retreat. His unit was under fierce enemy fire when a hand grenade landed in an outpost. Bob grabbed a blanket and threw it and himself over the hand grenade, which went off. Bob survived his grievous injuries after a long hospitalization and a lot of treatment. He is now a major advocate of this Memorial Highway designation. If you haven't met Bob Maxwell, you have a hole in your life. He's a great individual. Kingsley Field in Klamath Falls is named in commemoration of Lieutenant David Kingsley, who died in the crash of a B-17 bomber in Belgium. Lieutenant Kingsley was in a B-17 that was fatally damaged and was in flames and was falling out of the sky. The bombardier was grievously injured, and his parachute was destroyed. Lieutenant Kingsley took off his own parachute, put it on the bombardier, and helped him out of the aircraft. Lieutenant Kingsley did not survive the crash. Last year, the Air National Guard 173rd Fighter Wing, stationed at Kingsley Field, established a memorial in Lieutenant Kingsley's memory in that Belgium field where he died in the wreckage of his B-17. The median age of World War II veterans is 85 years of age for men, 87 for women. More than three-fourths of these brave men and women have already passed away. In less than 10 years, most of the remaining members of our greatest generation will be gone, perhaps with the exception of the good general. Today, we are attempting to commemorate their great service, their great sacrifice, and their immeasurable contribution to our nation. Please cast your vote in their honor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Whitsitt. Thank you, Senator Ferriero. I recognize Senator Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wasn't going to speak on this because the carriers have really covered the issue well, but I thought I would say that it was an out. I mean, I'm a student of history, certainly. And I also wanted to say that I have been incredibly proud of the work the legislature has done, both to help veterans and to honor veterans over the last few sessions. Colleagues, I was also incredibly privileged to sit on the committee that heard this bill and to see the history as it was presented to us. It was fascinating. It's something all Oregonians should know. And I would recommend, colleagues, that you get a copy of the tape of that committee hearing, so you'll have it. It's worth having.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Monroe, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. You all know that I've taught history for over 30 years, high school and college level. So it's interesting that we're recognizing Highway 97 today, because there was massive fear in the West Coast right after Pearl Harbor. You have to understand that almost our entire fleet was wiped out, and we were very vulnerable to invasion by Japan, and many people felt like the Japanese were, in fact, going to invade us. They did try to. They were stopped up in the Aleutians. But that's one of the main reasons why we moved all these military establishments on the other side of the Cascade Range, so that they would be less vulnerable to an invasion by Japan. And we would have a bit of space to stop that invasion before they got to these military establishments along the Central Oregon Corridor. So it's very appropriate that we honor Highway 97 today and remember the tragic times of World War II, the great, great sacrifice of people that lived through those times, and take some pride in this decision today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Monroe. Recognize Senator Boquist, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I wasn't going to speak, but something struck me in history, and the good senator talked about, you know, when we study history and we look at the things that transpired in the days, and I would address these comments almost specifically to the good general who I'm friends with and proud to have had many discussions with him. And And Senator Whitsett mentioned that, you know, the average age is 85 years old, and we think of the GI generation as the greatest generation, and that, you know, they're passing on, so on and so forth. And I'm reminded of a little piece of history in 1775 that happened on the Concord Bridge. And what happened earlier that day, most of you know, is the Lexington Green. And what happened to the Concord Bridge was actually the start of the American success and the American Revolution. And that's because after the Lexington Green, what transpired is everybody scattered before the great armies of Britain. And at the Concord Bridge, the militia of those days were standing on one side across from there and had decided that they would not take on the British. And pretty much the revolution was going to die right there. And a man named Deacon Hayes, who had walked, I think, 8 miles to the bridge to join the militia, convinced the young captain of the militia to cross the bridge under fire and push out the British. And Deacon Hayes died on that bridge that day. But it was he who convinced them to cross the bridge. And after walking 8 miles, Deacon Hayes died on that bridge, and he was 89 years old. General, you got a long ways to go.
Thank you, Senator Boquist. Recognize Senator Telfer, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I rise today in support of Senate Bill 449. This bill would honor the service and sacrifice made by Oregon's World War II veterans and would commemorate the significant role that Highway 97 played during that role. This bill designates U.S. Highway 97 as the World War II Veterans Historic Highway. U.S. Highway 97 served 8 critical World War II military training sites along its entire length from Biggs Junction to Klamath Falls and runs through the heart of District 27, which is the district I represent. Today, I'd like to highlight a few of the historic role that Highway 97 played in the district. Senator Farioli's always already mentioned the U.S. Army Airfield in Redmond, which is now the Redmond Municipal Airport. I'd just like to mention that both World War II runways and a World War II hangar remain in use there today. The airport in Bend that was mentioned that was used from 1942 to 1945 to train pilots through the civilian pilot training program is still there. In addition, in Bend were built a U.S. Army hospital, a housing complex, and a vehicle repair facility. And Camp Abbott is located about 15 miles south of Bend, and it was the training site for combat engineers with 90,000 trainees completing the program. The camp is now called Sun River, and the officers club there is now what we call in Sun River the Great Hall. Many of you may have visited there before. These camps and training fields depict an important part of our history. Today we designate the World War II Veterans Historic Highway so we can educate and teach future generations of Oregonians about the significant role U.S. Highway 97 played, and remember the enormous sacrifices made by those veterans and other veterans who have served our country. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Telfer. Further discussion? Senator Farioli, do you wish to close?
Mr. President, just to correct myself and to make a clarification about the bill. First, the correction. I misspoke. Let me clarify. Rex Barber, for whom the bridge over U.S. Highway 97 over the Crooked River is named, was a highly decorated hero of World War II. He did not, in fact, and it is, in fact, historically accurate that Rex Barber shot down the airplane that was carrying Japanese Admiral Yamamoto, who was the architect of the Pearl Harbor attack. Another member of our body who served honorably with the Flying Tigers in pre-World War II China with General Claire Chennault was Senator Ken Jernstedt. And I just wanted to point out that we have a direct connection because of Senator Jernstedt's honorable service to his country and also to this body with the designation of Highway 97 as the World War II Memorial Highway. And clarification having been made, I'll just point out that this bill has no fiscal. It invites the veterans organizations of Oregon to adopt their sections of Highway 97 and place the signs that will educate the public. So it, in fact, is an outreach to that community. It will cost the state nothing, but it will enrich us beyond measure. So I urge a yes vote for highway or for designation of Highway 97 as a World War II Memorial Highway, and I urge a yes vote on Senate Bill 449. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Whitsitt, do you wish to close? You don't. Can't. That's right. All right. The question now rises upon third reading. The final passage of Senate Bill 449. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 449, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 559, related to motion for intervention in juvenile defense proceeding.
Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 559 came out of your Judiciary Committee on a 4-0 vote. This bill basically is going to correct an error that was made during the revisions of the juvenile law provisions back in 2005. There was an oversight as to lining up the factors that are necessary for intervention in a juvenile dependency proceeding. And so it's a correction, and we ask for your support.
Thank you. Discussion? Question arises upon third reading. The final passage of Senate Bill 559. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Nelson. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 559, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Bill 562, relating to Oregon Law Commission and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 562 comes to us from the Oregon Law Commission. It passed the Judiciary Committee unanimously. The Oregon Law Commission reviews statutes, and after 10 years of its existence, it decided to review its own enabling statutes. This is work that was done in a work group that's been meeting over the past several months. After the work group met, these are the changes that are in Senate Bill 562. Senate Bill 562 adds two commissioners to the Oregon Law Commission from the judiciary branch, one a chief judge of the Court of Appeals or his or her designee, and the other is a sitting or retired circuit court judge. It changes the qualifications for the House and Senate appointees. Under current law, the House and Senate each have two members, one of whom must be a senator or representative at the time of appointment. Under Senate Bill 562, one must be a senator or representative while serving on the commission, and one can be a current or former senator or representative. It changes the terms from 2 years to 4 years. It contains grandfathering provisions allowing for those who do not meet the new requirements to continue serving. Legislators who serve on the commission or on a commission's work group may receive expenses. Only the former are covered under present law. It also changes the requirements for when the commission needs to meet to as needed, which is more practical depending on the schedule of the legislature. It shifts many of the duties that were previously delegated to legislative council over to the law commission staff, and it changes some terminology to reflect current practice. I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 562. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Bonamici. Discussion. Which now rises upon a third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 562. Those the opinion bills passed say aye. Those opposed no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Juan Sanderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morris. Nelson. Personsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Nelson, Starr, 23 ayes.
The Senate Bill 562, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of the House measures, please.
House Joint Rule 10, urging Congress to amend Section 529 of Internal Revenue Code to allow accounts and qualified tuition programs to be used for repayment in student loans. House Joint Resolution 19, designated March 16, 2009 as Smart Reading Day and commemorating work of Start Making a Reader Today program. House Bill 2080 relating to Greywater and Quarter Emergency. House Bill 2173 relating to Relief from Sex Offender Reporting. House Bill 2269 relating to Extradition. House Bill 2449 relating to Child Abuse. Senate Bill. House Bill 2570 relating to Membership of Oregon Health and Science University Board of Directors. House Bill 2686 relating to Child Abuse Reporting.
These are transmitted to the President's desk for referral. The second reading of the House measures.
House Concurrent Resolution 3, in memoriam Brian Johnston, 1949-2008. House Bill 2045, relating to persons authorized to make findings of impairment for writing of injured workers' disability. House Bill 2170, relating to sex offender registration. House Bill 2195, relating to vocational rehabilitation in providing workers' compensation claims. House Bill 2197, relating to workers' compensation.
These are passed to the calendar. Third reading of the House measures. Would the clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 2065, relating to correction of erroneous material in Oregon tax law.
Recognize Senator Chris Telfer, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2065B comes to you from the Great Committee of Senate Finance and Revenue. It corrects grammar, syntax, and references in Oregon tax laws, repealing obsolete statutes. Specifically, House Bill 2065B makes corrections to ORS 305, 306, 307, 308, 308A, 309, 310, 311, 312, 315, 316, 317, 318, 323, 344, as well as the 149 sections of ORS 320 and Oregon Laws 2007. Senate Bill 2065B has no impact on current tax policy, and it comes to you with a due pass with amendments to resolve conflicts and be printed, be engrossed.
Thank you, Senator Telfer. There's a discussion of the measure. Question arises upon the third reading, the final passage of House Bill 2065. Those of the opinion bills to pass say aye. Those opposed no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morissette.
Morissette.
Morris. Nelson. Personsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hess, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, President Courtney,
yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate House Bill 2065, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2250, relating to liquor licenses.
Recognize Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Distilleries produce distilled liquor. Amazing. But that is any alcoholic beverage other than a wine, cider, or malt beverage. Senate Bill 451 from our 2007 session expanded the privileges available to Oregon distilleries, including allowing distilleries to offer sample tastings up to two full on-premise sales licenses and operate full-service restaurants at their premises. HB 2550 clarifies inconsistencies that resulted from the changes. For example, HB 2250 deletes the prohibition against issuing a full on-premises sales license to a winery license owned or controlled by a distillery. It also exempts appointed distillery retail outlet agents from the prohibition against retail sales agents having a financial interest or business connection with the distillery. HB 2250 also corrects inconsistencies related to brewery public house and winery licensure, and it clarifies locations where distilleries may conduct tastings. I urge and I vote.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Gerard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I need to declare a potential conflict given current ethics laws, which are bad. My brother is a liquor agent.
Your brother's a liquor agent. All right. Your potential conflict of interest is noted. Is there further discussion on this measure? Brother's a liquor agent. Okay. Question arises upon a third reading and final passage of House Bill 2250. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morissette. Morissette.
Senator Morissette.
Morris. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe.
Senator Monroe.
President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
House Bill 2250, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the bill.
House Bill 2251, related to service permit application endorsements.
Senator Larry George.
Thank you, Mr. President. Oregon's law requires servers who mix, serve, or sell alcohol by the drink in a licensed business to have a service permit issued by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. The OLCC service permit applicants are required to have their applications endorsed for the purpose of verifying their identity. House Bill 2255 allows OLCC employees to do the endorsement. The background is that there were certain constraints placed on the OLCC employees during the last revisions of this statute in 2001. Those restraints or constrictions on the staff were reflected the concerns of the Liquor Control Commission at the time, as they weren't sure that about the workload impact from allowing people to apply for permit before they had a job. Their experience since 2001 has shown that the additional workload is minimal and that the constraints keep the OLCC from providing good public service. Many applicants visit the OLCC offices assuming that they can process their service permit applications. But then when they get turned away, it hurts both the customers and the staff when it's a fairly easy process and will create minimal impact on staff time. I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Larry George. Discussion? Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2251. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morris. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader.
Senator Schrader.
Starr. Telfer.
Senator Telfer.
Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Buonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter.
Senator Carter.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Haas. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 2251, having supercontinental majority, declared passed. Clerk will read bill.
House Bill 2562, relating to vehicle size limits, declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Joanne Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the current length limit for school buses is 40 feet, but recent changes in design make some of the new buses 40 feet 9 inches in length. Many of these design changes have to do with safety. For example, the new buses have better visibility for the driver. The new buses have a smaller turning radius, so they are more maneuverable. New buses also have more room for the driver, also a safety feature. House Bill 2562 increases the maximum allowable length of school buses to 45 feet, so the newly redesigned buses are legal. The new 45-foot limit for buses is the same as the current limit for recreational vehicles, so I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Verger. Discussion. Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2562. Those the opinion bill shall pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzezinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Schrader.
Senator Schrader.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Verger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson. Bates, Buonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
House Bill 2562, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the Senate, according to the SR 8.403 committee referral lists 74 and 75 were distributed to members March 16th. The referral list number 76 and 77 were distributed March 17th. The referrals were recorded in the journal and stage report and so ordered. Announcements, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues, Senate Democrats. Get your lunch, be in caucus room by 10 till noon. That's 10 minutes till noon. We got a lot of work to do, and to get you up for your committees by 1, we need to be starting by 10 minutes till noon.
Thank you. Senator Ferrioli, do you have any announcements you'd want to make?
No.
You do not. Thank you. Are there any further announcements? Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. There will be no Floyd McMullen Fire Brigade today. Thank you.
Thank you. Other announcements? Tomorrow, here we go. Please know we're going to meet on Friday. We do have a Friday session, as I said. We need to do that because we are not having a Monday session because of the in-service day. But we will come on the floor at 9 o'clock on Friday, please. 9 o'clock this Friday, we'll have a floor session. If there are no further announcements, without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 9 a.m. this Friday, which is March 20th. We are now adjourned.